Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Kevin Most is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And just as a radio listener, I feel, Kevin, if I can call you Kevin, that, like I know you. I have been listening to you give very precise, sometimes frightening, and sometimes hopeful news about COVID. And we're at the two-year anniversary, so welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rick. Well, thanks for filling in for Bob this week. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of fun waking up at, 2 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I used to go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning, so I just have to switch my body chemistry. Maybe you can help me in some kind of ways. You know, you know what disturbs me, and most COVID news, even though some of it's hopeful, Dr. Kevin Most, is the whole notion of China locking down 51 million people because of a subvariant that's running wild there, and the subvariants come here. Should I be scared?
No, I don't think we should be scared. You know, I think we should take this opportunity where we have this quiet time to make sure that we're ready for anything else coming up, but we shouldn't be scared. I think we have a lot of tools in place now that we haven't. So I wouldn't get complacent, but I would say individuals who haven't had the chance to be vaccinated yet, that's one of the first things that they should be doing now.
You know, it occurs to me that you know, there are a number of people, it's to me a surprisingly large number of people that have yet to be vaccinated. Is there any way, is there any means of convincing them now? I think in some ways, Dr. Most, that it's too late for some people to be convinced to do that.
Yeah, you know, I would say anybody who's on the fence, you know, take a chance to read the VA study that's just come out. And, you know, because people are saying, you know what, oh, Omicron isn't bad. It's kind of like a bad cold and people have a sore throat and then they get over it. But this VA study, now that we've, like you said, we hit the two-year anniversary. What happens when we hit the two-year anniversary? We start to be able to look at what happened over the past 2 years. And the VA study has shown that people that got COVID were more likely to have a heart attack, 63%. 52% were more likely to have a stroke within the next year to year and a half post-COVID. So although you might have got over the sore throat and the itchiness and the fever, boy, you have chronic long-term problems. So to prevent this illness is going to protect you long-term as well.
Yeah, I want to talk to you after the break, because I had roughly 2 years ago at this very time got COVID and was hospitalized, and thank God for Northwestern Hospital and that news of that you just mentioned about you know, the post-COVID after effects, and you know, a much higher chance of stroke and all sorts of other nasty things. I want to pursue that with you after this short break. Dr. Kevin Most is officially the Chief Medical Officer of Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital, but for a very long time, Kevin, and I'm glad you're on the air, you have been an informative and a very, I think, reassuring voice in the 2 years we've been beleaguered and shadowed by COVID. The thing we were talking about just before we got into the commercials is the, from 1 to 5 years after one contracts COVID, there is a much higher chance of a stroke and or heart troubles. I am one of those long haulers. I thank God for Northwestern signed up for a study, and they've been monitoring me for the last 2 years. Is that true? Is a long hauler by definition someone, a person who just had COVID, but it was only with mild symptoms? Are they likely to be lumped in that frightening long hauler crowd?
Rick, you hit it right on the head, actually. It's very interesting. You know, individuals that had what I would call, quote unquote, a mild illness,
right,
or a moderate illness, not being hospitalized, they're more likely to get into the long haulers of brain fog, fatigue, loss of taste and smell.
Wow.
And then the
Why is that?
Kind of interesting.
Why is that?
You know, they're still trying to figure out whether it's the virus still has a sub-infection or the inflammatory process has just been turned on, and we're trying to figure out now how to turn it off. The issues that you were talking about, though, with heart attacks and strokes and blood clots, that's the one we're looking at saying, wait, someone who had COVID, we have to make sure that they're aware of, boy, if you get any of these symptoms, take them very seriously. And I think we're going to start looking at saying, do we need to put people on blood thinners, even if it's something as simple as an aspirin, post-COVID infections?
One of the things, and you can address this better than most people on this planet, is COVID is an incredibly, incredibly complex and sneaky virus, is it not?
It really is, Rick. And, you know, we think about influenza and say, okay, influenza, when we get it, it can get into our lungs. You know, this little virus, if you think about it, it has gotten into our kidneys. It has gotten yep. into our brain. It has gotten into our heart. So it is, although we think of it as this sneaky little thing, it certainly is. And that's the part that you're talking about, is what are the repercussions long term of having an infection? We don't know, because we're only hitting the 2-year mark right now.
Yeah, I know. There's so many mysteries shadowing this disease. And what gives me pause a bit is not only the tragedies happening in Ukraine, the utter inhumanity of that all, but also you see those incredible crowds pouring of refugees pouring into Poland. And I wonder, Dr. Kevin Most of Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, do you look at that situation there as some potential COVID explosion?
Yeah, Rick, there's a couple things there. One is certainly look at how we've been saying, let's socially distance, let's mask,
yeah.
let's do all these things, let's vaccinate. They're not given this opportunity anymore. We're putting them in bomb shelters close to each other. You know, their vaccination rates nowhere near what ours were. So all you need is a couple people and you're going to see that spread. Hopefully those who get out of the Ukraine are going to get good health care, because the health care system, obviously, in the Ukraine right now, is taking care of injured people from the bombings. And so they are in a really stressful tipping point right now from not only their healthcare system, but also from COVID.
Well, I'm also thinking that the Polish hospitals, and I think the Polish people, are being remarkably, remarkably giving and welcoming. But there's going to be one day a potential strain on the hospital system in Poland, yes?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, you take this onslaught, and I don't know, and I would think that this is one thing that the State Department would say is, hey, we are sending as much vaccine over to Poland and any other country that's taking these individuals, or we're sending as much medication to them as possible. You know, it's good that we're sending, you know, missiles and whatever, but let's look at the humanity side of it, and what do we do for those people who are leaving? Are we sending enough vaccine? Are we sending enough medication? Are we sending the things that the Poland health service is going to need when they get this stress as well?
Yeah, I've read very little about that, and I certainly understand your point that the vaccine is another weapon in the arsenal that we might be able to share.
Oh, 100%. Monoclonal antibodies, vaccines, some of the new medications that are coming out, when we don't have that demand here, we shouldn't be stockpiling them when other parts of the world, especially this part of the world, may need them.
Let me ask you about, there now seem to be a number, you know, when the race was on to develop a vaccine, there now seem to be more and more companies that are able to provide this. This obviously is a good thing, but does it cause, on the part of a consumer of vaccines, complications and too complex?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what we do with vaccines next. Everyone has to remember that the vaccine we're taking right now was based on the original strain of COVID, not based on Delta, not based on Omicron. So now it's going to be, how do we transition out of the basic and into a more exacting vaccine? And I think the one thing you also touched on is the medications, too.
Yeah.
You know, we should be very proud of companies like Pfizer and Moderna.
Oh, no question. No question.
It's unbelievable what they have done in a short period of time. And it's just amazing.
Kevin, you have been, and I, as a radio listener, as I said before, just not only wildly informative, but also reassuring. You give me pause about talking about the long hauler effects and certain heart problems that might raise their ugly heads. But it is always, even lying in bed half asleep, been a pleasure listening to you, and it's nice to talk to you one-on-one.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate you following up with the long hauler COVID
Oh, I was so grateful. Well, when I got out of Northwestern, I was so grateful to be alive. I would have signed up for virtually anything, Kevin. Anything.
And we need those. We need individuals like that because we're learning more and more. So we appreciate you following up. And Charlie Davidson at Northwestern is doing a great job with those clinics.
It's absolutely the least I can do. It's a pleasure to meet you over the phone, Dr. Kevin Most, the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Take care of yourself, please.
Thank you. You too.